This is Melissa Ford-Luckin.
Rosalie Petrowski.
Susan Seraph and Jess.
Editors for the Washington Square Review.
Washington Square On Air
showcases the poetry and fiction
of the latest edition of LCC's literary journal,
The Washington Square Review,
read by the poets,
authors,
and editors themselves.
Expect the unexpected
as our contributors express
experience and fantasy with humor,
imagination,
poetic license,
irony,
and passion.
If you love language
at its most original,
please join us in our audio town square
to celebrate a community of writers
spanning from around the world
to Lansing.
Hey there, this is Melissa Ford-Luckin, editor of the Washington Square Review. I'm here today, though, as a faculty person with three students from my Composition 1 class, Yaratzi, Kaylee, and Layla. Yaratzi, why don't you tell us your LCC story? How did you get here? Where were you before?
Okay, well, I went to Eastern High School, and if any of you guys know, the old Eastern High School, I went there from like 7th, 8th, up until freshman year. I'm not going to lie, like 7th grade and 8th grade, I was like, get good grades. Like, I was so serious about everything. I have an older sister who used to have really good grades, so she was like my idol, like I wanted to be like her. And then freshman year, when COVID started, that's when I like flunked a class. I was like, I was not doing
good. I feel like everyone
good.
Struggled during COVID though.
Yeah.
That was like the hardest part, for I feel like for everyone. Like
right.
Learning to like cope with being online and alone and like...
Mm-hmm.
Isolated from everyone and just like sucked.
Yeah, God, I hated it because you'd just be like sitting in a computer and you want to see their faces, and it's just like, oh no, it's just a circle with their name below it, and it's like, oh, this is not fun. And then sophomore year was my worst year. I was laying in bed the whole time. I was not paying attention to class. I didn't want to do any of it. My grandfather recently passed that year too. Like my quinceañera, it had to be postponed. Like a lot of stuff happened, and that was just not the greatest year. And then
yeah.
It was junior year that we got back.
Going from that going to junior year
was
like so terrible.
It was
like
horrible.
Junior year is like the worst year, I feel like, for like high school students. So jumping right into like SATs
yeah.
and stuff like that, and like
yeah.
SAT prep was like. Terrible. Oh my God.
I tried talking to friends, like they didn't respond. Like we were just in our own. It was bad.
Mm-hmm. A lot of my friends had like dropped out. So junior
yeah.
year was like, it was just so lonely and like, damn, like.
Mm-hmm.
But also that's when I first started going to the Wilson Talent Center. So it was a lot different and I got to like have more experiences.
So Layla, you went to a different school. So why don't you tell us a little bit about the school you went to?
I started in Everett and then I learned about the Wilson Talent Center about 8th grade before high school. And I really like, they did a great job at showcasing all the programs. I knew like from the bat, I wanted to go to New Media because I loved art and that was my goal. But I thought you had to pay for it, and I like spoke to a teacher about it, and she was like, no, you don't, and that was it. I applied, I got accepted, I was so excited, and I went for both the years I was able to. In my senior year, I took two programs, and that was all I had to do for my senior year. So coming back to college and doing math classes and stuff like that was like, oh, like an eye-opener. So.
Kaylee, tell us a little about your background. How did you get here to LCC?
I mean, I came to LCC because of the Lansing School District Promise Scholarships, the Lansing Promise.
Yep.
And I just got here just since just like 4 free years. So like might as well, you know, at least start with like the two
something,
years.
Right?
Yeah, something
yeah.
to like put like my toes in like the water
yeah.
and like see what it's
yeah,
like.
Yeah.
but I got here. I went to Everett before, just like Layla, but I didn't do the Eastwood Town Center thing. I was just a boring little girl, I guess. But no, I just stayed at Everett, and I was there from 7th through 12th grade at Everett.
Yeah.
So I was there for like a very long time. So like, I mean, I guess it was very weird. And of course, they get rid of the 7th and 8th graders when I leave. So so like that was just like a shock going from like middle school to basically like a high school. That was like immediate like shock. Like, yes, we were like separated from them. But like even like walking in the halls, you would still see them. So it was
yeah.
very like intimidating for
it
me.
Was.
How do you think that affected your learning?
I feel like it actually has helped with like college, and like because like since we've been presenting like in class with that, I feel like that has definitely helped. Only like the project based is just like presenting is the only thing that helped. The learning aspect of it, like English and stuff like that, No, like in my ninth grade year, I didn't even have a geometry teacher, so I didn't even learn geometry. Oh. So that was like amazing.
Yeah, I was my freshman year, I had this geometry teacher. I didn't learn anything.
Why didn't you learn anything?
Because first of all, she didn't actually teach. She just gave us notes, and then she gave us a paper, and then she told us the answer. She was there for 1 year, and then the reason why she got, I think the reason that she got fired was she gave comments about using deodorant and like, don't do drugs or don't do sex and don't do this, like stay safe. I was like, this is a math geometry class, like actually teach us something.
When I'm listening to you guys, I'm thinking about how there's so many disruptions, right? So mm-hmm. you have a teacher who's coming and going, and then you have COVID, yeah. and that's a disruption. Talk a little bit more about COVID, because it seemed like that was a bad experience all around.
Well, for me, I mean, coming back with, because the 7th and 8th graders were still there. The 7th graders coming back, like my junior year, the 7th graders, last time they were in school was 4th, 5th grade. So, like, they were just, like, chaos. Like, when I'm, like, chaos, like, all in the halls, they would just be, like, everywhere, just like running the halls, and I'm like trying to get to my class. It was terrible. Like the kids that haven't been in school, like have like no manners or like anything. They went from being like the first, second year being in like middle school to like a high school, so they don't know any like thing about like what it's supposed to be like, you know? And they're just like kids like everywhere. Like I just want to like push them and just be like, get out of my way.
I feel like coming back from COVID, it was like very difficult to concentrate, and like you could tell a lot of the students, they could not sit still because like having that freedom before and being able to do everything online, then coming back to a class where they're like, sit here, you have to ask to use the bathroom, you have to ask to go get water,
get off like your phone. I'm sitting on my phone during like, class now, like
like you gotta kind of understand that like everybody's coming back now and they need a little bit of flexibility, because that was like a lot to go through for everyone, and the teachers were just, I mean, it was a lot for them too, so I feel like it was a really bad time for everyone.
I like Everett, like after like the whole COVID thing, they didn't have any mental health services like at all. I mean, maybe they did, but like they didn't like advertise it. I feel like a lot of people could have used like those like services, like the mental health services, but like since there was none, or like they weren't advocating for it, there's no reason, like, there's no way for
Eastern
it to be
always said that they had a, like, counselors that you can talk to, you have problems, like, way before COVID. None of us knew about it. We didn't trust the counselors. Like, and then COVID was like, oh, we actually have this, like, we care about your mental health and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, no, you're not. You're only taking this serious now because there were actual kids going through real mental health problems, and they only noticed it now when it's been happening for like years.
I've had mental health issues for like my whole life, and now they're making it, so just like, what the heck?
Yeah.
So I mean, something I'm wondering about is, it sounds like you guys had an experience where you lost trust in like authority and people that were supposed to help.
Yeah.
So did you help each other? Did you turn to the internet for help, like when you needed support or information, either like how to do the internet online coursework or how to get mental health services or just to get out of the isolation?
I feel like for me, it was just good to like talk with my friends. Like I remember I used to be like so shy, but like being isolated, I can't, like, and then going back to school, I just came out of my shell and just became like, I really don't care what anyone has to say. Like I'm not going to be shy anymore. Like I'm just going to be who I am, you know? So
The only thing that got me through COVID was my mom and this one science teacher that really, I feel like a lot of teachers also struggle during COVID because they had to know about like being a computer, like learning about all that stuff, like online that they didn't know how to work. But there was this one science teacher that really wanted us to still learn about like in the class, like still communicate with one each other. So she was like, she was my rock. She was great. She was awesome. Everyone else just kind of sucked.
So sometimes, though, one person will make a big difference.
Yeah, I feel like the way, like, some teachers, like, teach, I feel like can have, like, such a huge, like, impact.
It can.
Yeah. Or, like, how, like, they care, just, like, or if they're just, like, goofy or just, like.
Right. Like,
it's
they're
just,
not
like,
so
how they teach, like, so serious
so
about, like,
serious,
certain things.
Yeah.
Because I feel like the teachers who are, like, the most serious and just, like, okay, we have to do this, this, this has to be due on time, this has to be due on time.
Oh, no.
I feel like it's just, like, that's when, like, you just lose like your like passion for like learning.
Layla, how'd you get through it?
Oh man. well we were talking about teachers like not handling things. All I could think about is my last English teacher, actually. It was the year my mom had passed away, which I'm pretty sure was like my junior year. I just like explained to her what happened and like, is there a way I can make up my assignments? And she was just like, no, that's too bad. And I was like, bro, my mom, like, are you serious? And and then I talked to my family about it, and they were talking about going and taking it up with the school, but kind of like nothing really ever came from it. And I just thought that was really like cruel of her to do. So
yeah,
I actually learned a lot from her class, but like as a person, she seemed very messed up. So but no, for COVID wise though, I've had the same best friend for like 6 years, and I've been with my boyfriend for 5. So I've had the same support system for very long time.
So let's talk a little bit about the writing that you did in high school and the way it did and didn't carry over here and into LCC. So I'm wondering, you know, what kind of stuff did they tell you you would be writing, and does that match up with what we're doing? Like, how did that fit together?
I feel like writing, they always tell us you're going to be doing all of these essays. Like, you know how in your class, like on the first day, you wanted us to do an I essay?
Yeah.
All of our teachers were like, no I.
Yeah, the last time I wrote like an I paper was in like third grade.
Yeah. No, they were like, most of my writing, like in English classes, were just essays on like articles and
or like
stuff,
history.
Yeah,
because like I had like a because since I was a new tech, I had block classes, so like my English and my history were together. Oh. So a lot of like my papers were on like history sometimes. I'm just like, well, this is just great.
But yeah, no, I didn't do a lot of writing throughout high school besides my senior year.
Yeah, same. So I feel like my senior year of high school, when my teacher didn't leave, she ended up leaving and got a job at LCC, which is kind of funny. Anyways, but when she was there, it was beneficial for me because like she had us write a research paper, and she had us like do different steps like for a research paper, because like she's like, okay, you're gonna need to like write a research paper for like your college class. So
yeah.
And then the essays that we did, I feel like helped a lot because she like graded them like very like hardly, not in like a mean way, but like
graded in a
good way, like to get us ready for like college, which I think that was like the only class that helped me. Yeah.
Layla, what about you?
Junior year, same teacher. Like I said, you know, she actually was a really great teacher. I learned a lot, like grammar and things like that. She would have us do online assignments, and it was irritating sometimes because it would be very specific.
Just
and,
like the math homework.
Yeah, and it wouldn't make sense. Like, oh, I don't think that's right. And even she would be like, yeah, no, that one's not right. So, but I learned a lot, and I've always had my grandmother help me with my papers, like look over them and tell me what I should change, or like, of course, that I've always had grammar issues,
right?
But she even said like that year until now, like I've just been like going up and up and up, and I've been doing a lot better with my writing, and I like that because, you know, I really enjoy writing, so hearing that from somebody who's great at writing means a lot. So
writing is always a gradual process. Your whole life you'll be learning new things and changing. I do laugh when people talk about the I, because I know that a lot of students, you know, come to campus and I'm like, well, I know you've been told not to use the I, but we're going to be
like, it was just so much easier to put yourself into like the essay, because like I can now easily like using putting myself in the position is just so much easier.
It is
just free write.
Yeah. There is a lot of controversy and discussion about the use of the I voice in the academic essay.
I love the I.
I love the I too.
Yeah. Talk like about one so of the papers simple. That you've written.
Well, the first papers that I wrote was like when I talked about dancing. That was one of the papers.
That was our personal narrative.
That's what I do mine about dance too.
So since it was an I paper, I just kind of wrote like what I remember.
What about the second one?
The second one was about teen drug abuse. If you go to Eastern, if you go to any bathroom stall, it will literally smell like weed or marijuana. So doing that paper, I've seen some of my friends and like a lot of people, not like family, but mostly friends that I know that do drugs. So writing that paper, we had to like ask the person, like, how do you feel about this? Like, I've never done drugs or anything, so.
No, I get that. A lot of my friends, same thing. And it's crazy because we've all like grown up around like drug addicts or been in the trap house. And it's like, how are you still gonna turn to drugs after you've seen what it turns people into.
It was hard because I remember like being in seventh grade and they'd be telling you like in health class not to do these drugs,
and then
you
just all turn to it.
Yeah, and they just all turn to it. Like they look at the video, like they'll show you videos of people that do drugs and then all the health problems that they went through, and they're like, "Oh, that's gross." But then they ended up doing it. So if you find it gross, why are you still doing it? That was the one thing on my paper. I was like, why are you doing it? I
feel like it can be like pure pressure too, because if like your friends mm-hmm. or if you're around like people that do it, I feel like you could feel like you have to do it to fit in.
Yeah.
At times.
I feel like a lot of my friends, it was just mental health, which is the saddest part about it. Mm-hmm. Like watching them turn to that because they didn't have anyone and still trying to reach out, and it was just like there's nothing.
None of my friends really pressured me to do drugs. Like my mom always told me, like, if anyone pressures you to do drugs, then they're not your friends.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So I can see why you picked the topic. It means a lot to you. And it sounds, listening to you, it sounds like you wanted to get some understanding on
it. Yes, because some of my friends have like really mental health problems and then went through a lot of stuff like in their family, not so much in the school, but mostly in their family. And it was hard for them. So I feel like the only way that it could turn to was using drugs and then sometimes friends. So I was like, It was hard. It was hard seeing them do it because I know, like, if they kept doing, like, it was just going to keep mm-hmm. getting worse. And it did get worse. So
did writing the paper give you clarity on some part of it?
Part of it, yeah. But I'm still like, mm-hmm. shouldn't be doing this. Like, you should have some actual support. I feel like if you were to ask a person on why did you want the reason why they use drugs or how they use rest, it only gets rid of that one moment and then it just keeps on going. So that's why some of them get addicted to it, because it's just they use it once or twice and you don't remember like
I any think of a the lot of people stuff. Then just build like a tolerance, like a high tolerance that, of it. Yeah. Or like some people just like it makes them more like focus on like why mm-hmm. they're doing it.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah.
Kaylee, tell us about one of the papers that you wrote for class.
The first paper was the eye paper. I wrote about the reason why I had to quit dancing at a studio because of my anxiety and how that, like, the dance teacher was not supportive of me because of my anxiety and basically didn't want me doing it because, like, they didn't think I was able to do the outside performances because of my anxiety, which hurt because I've been dancing since I was, like, 4 years old.
Oh, wow.
So, like, knowing that, like, I wasn't good enough, like, to do something that I loved doing just, like, broke my heart. But luckily at Everett, they had a dance, like, elective. So that actually helped me continue to grow my love for dance.
Oh, that dance room was so cute.
Did writing the paper help you sort out some part of the experience?
It brought back trauma. No, I mean, it made me reflect on how much I've grown as a person with anxiety. It made me think about how much stronger I have became with it. That's just what, like, I guess I got clarity from it, just mm-hmm. knowing, like, how much I've grown and how much stronger I've gotten with having anxiety.
That's beautiful. That's an endorsement for the eye voice. Like, yes. Hey, Layla, tell us about one of your papers.
The first one I did was on, like, being a person that's kind of, like, alternative and wears, like, dark clothes and has all these piercings and things like that and kind of all the stereotypes that come with it. Mm-hmm. The first piercings I got were snake bites, which are the two on the lip that, like, go through the bottom of your lip.
You're so cool.
And I got it when I went to Florida because, you know, I'm from there and my family wanted us to come out for me and my dad's birthday. And, man, I was so excited that my dad was going to take me to get those done. And from there, it's just been more and more and more. It's like I'm scared to do tattoos because it's going to be infinite. But
at least you can take out the piercings.
But it's just like the way people treat you when you just look different from what their idea is, which is just kind of like boring and like you wear what everybody else wears. Then they just always make up these things about you. They're like, oh, you're going to steal something. Oh, you're a criminal. Oh, you're this, you're that.
I hate those stereotypes. I absolutely hate those stereotypes. If you see, like, there's so many actors and musicians out there who have tattoos, who have piercings. And it's like, just because you have a tattoo or piercing, does that mean that you're going to rob a place or that you're going to kill someone?
No, when we moved to Mason, and, you know, my boyfriend, he's, you know, mixed mixed and stuff like that. And we'll go into the farm stores, and man, the first time we went in one of those stores together, I was so nervous. I'm like, all these people, you can tell. And it's just like, you know, are we going to get like hate crimed or something like that? Yeah. Like, I know we have each other, but like, you know, I look like this and, you know, he's, you know, just he's how he white. Is. Yeah. And it's like, and that's enough for everyone there to hate you. And, you know, one time it was a different farm store I went into with my grandmother. And then that's when this lady, like, I was just looking around while my grandma was somewhere else. I think she was like in the bathroom. And this lady just like starts following me around the store. Oh, and I'm like, are you serious right now? Like, I see you. You're not like
you're not slick.
No, yeah. And it's just like, that's been a constant. And it's like, you know, I'm getting used to it, but I feel like people definitely shouldn't have to.
Yeah, shouldn't. Yeah.
So did writing the essay give you a sense of closure or reflection? How did that help you process all that?
I like writing the papers because I feel like it's a good way to inform people, especially if somebody's reading it who does that to people, kind of understanding the other side of it, like how you're affecting people that are like this, like, why are you doing it? And like, you know, I like to try to like kind of inform people of what it's doing. So,
yeah. All right. So this makes me think of a question. What do you think that people need to know about the life of a college age student? You know, like, that they have this vision of what your, you know, you, the college students, what your daily life is. Mm-hmm. So where do they get it wrong? What do they need to know?
The party. I feel like the university's probably party with me. Yeah. I just like to focus on my education. That's just me.
Yeah, there is a stereotype of that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I feel like maybe if I went to university, maybe I would go out once or twice.
Once or twice, yeah.
But not like every weekend because like I like to focus on my education.
One stereotype that I've like, it's like they always expect you to be good, like to be easy, to be simple. Since it's your first year, it's like they don't expect a lot from you. But I feel like a lot of schools do expect a lot of you. Like I've seen videos of like freshmen like staying out late in the library doing all of this work, or like working from like until their class finishes up to like 12, and then they go home or to wherever they live, and then they study, and then they wake up like really late and they're just tired, like they're burned out.
As I'm listening to the things that you guys have, you know, experienced and that you're frustrated with and, you know, complaining about justifiably, they all seem to be things where you were trying to get the task accomplished so that you could move forward. Mm-hmm. You wanted to know what was expected of you. You want to know what the process is. You want to understand it so that you can do your part to it to make it happen.
I feel like right now they expect you, like if you go to college and you graduate and you have all of this, like you'll be set, like you'll be fine, like you don't have to worry about anything. But once you graduate, like from college or from university, like a lot of people end up in debt, and then you have to go into work, and then you have to worry about
first
taxes.
You have to find the job first.
The job, and then you can worry about the rest. But I feel like they just have so many expectations for you. I feel like they have a lot of expectations.
So stressful. Going into like from like high school to college, like you're expected to know when the work is due. You're expected to put the work in.
Yeah, like for me, it took us like a week or two to actually start getting the work done. But going into college, it was like, oh, okay, I already have this paper that I have to start to work on. There,
there's no easy ways.
There's no like, hi, my name is Janetti, and I'm gonna like introduce myself or like.
Which
a
I don't know
week.
Why I didn't expect that, but at the same time, just like, wait, what? Like, I didn't expect it to be like easy, so, but at the same time, it's just like now, like living through it, it's like, whoa, like.
Well, yeah, like we're almost done through our first semester, and it's like. I didn't expect it to go that. It went by so fast. I didn't.
Just like how you were saying.
I told you guys it would go by fast.
When you said yesterday about it's like a lifetime ago reading Chinatown. I was like, it does. Yeah.
Oh man, I love that book. By the way, I'm definitely gonna try to put people onto that. Though, I was watching a show the other day where like. Something kind of like, you know, like racist was happening in the show. And I was like talking to my family member about it. And then I brought up the book. I was like, I just really enjoyed that book. I own the audiobook now too, because I have to listen to the audiobook and go along with the book to understand. That's what I had to do like the whole time.
That's what I feel like when reading for like school, I have to like do an audiobook or like read out loud to myself or else I can't comprehend it because it's for school. But if I'm reading on my own, I'm like chilling.
No, I just, it doesn't click. I don't don't know. I have to listen and read it, or it just won't work for me.
Yeah. So. In order for me to, like, if I were to read a book, I would have to read it out loud and then repeat the sentence at least twice so I can, like remember it in my small brain.
Yeah, like reading Chinatown, there was sometimes I had to reread, like, the whole page because it was, like, confusing.
One of the chapters, like, the longest chapter, I think it was chapter, five or six or seven.
That chapter, I was just like... Okay, let me just go to the next page. Like, I've read this, 10 times over.
The guy who did the audiobook would, change voices. So
slow it down. Yeah.
So it's like, when everybody would talk about how confusing it was, I was like, man, that audiobook, it carried me to understanding
Good
it.
Good for you.
Thank you.
Yeah, we're talking about Interior Chinatown, LCC's Beyond the Book.
Yeah, you should read it. That's great.
Get it now.
Not sponsored, but we like to be.
Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about where you're headed next.
Okay, so right now I'm obviously just going to LCC for 2 years, and I want to be a preschool teacher, which... not a lot of people obviously want to do because they don't like children, like my mom and my sister and my family.
But they had children.
Are you sure?
Right.
Yeah. She goes, but it was because she knows I'm patient, but not so patient. So she knows
you'll
I
grow
have
into
to.
It.
I know I'm going to go into it, but all of my friends were like, are you sure? Like, you want to work with kids? Like, I don't think that's a good, you should just be.
You're going to have to help them use the bathroom.
Right. Yeah. So that's the only thing that I'm focusing on. And then obviously going to MSU for 2 more years and then graduating and getting my bachelor's. But I feel like before I go to MSU, I feel like there's so many classes that I have to get or so many credits that I have to get done with at LCC. And I have a feeling that it's not going to take me 2 years. I have a feeling it's probably going to take me a little bit longer, probably 3 years to get done with it. So right now we're almost done with their first semester. And I was like, wow, that was so quick. And for my next classes, I just I'm not good at math. Are any of you guys good at math?
Because I love math. Math is my best friend.
Yeah, total opposite.
I know.
Total opposite.
Whenever I say that, people look at me like I'm crazy.
Yeah, Kaylee's had to help me through this semester.
No, literally. I'd be in class. She's like,
Yeah, math is not my strong suit. Math is not my friend. No. So I'm definitely looking into some tutoring next year because I'm really gonna be needing
that.
What's
the guy's name? The tutor guy? Do you know him in our class?
I don't know his name.
We can recommend him.
Yeah,
we'll ask him his name and then we can recommend.
Okay.
Because he's really nice.
Definitely. So obviously next semester, we're done with this semester. Almost done. We only have a week left.
Yeah.
A week left in one day.
Oh my god. Mm-hmm.
That's so crazy.
The stress going from once after November hit, it was just chaos. It's just so stressful.
Yes.
So Kaylee, tell us where you're headed next.
I am going to be, I'm going towards a nursing route.
Woo!
Yeah. I'm not really for sure because right now I'm going towards the nursing route, but I'm thinking about becoming an anesthesiologist.
Oh.
So, yeah.
Wait, what's that? I don't know.
So basically, surgery, how the people that put you under, that's an anesthesiologist.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
So I'm thinking about that, but I'm not really for sure, but I know I want to help people. So I'm even if I don't decide to become an anesthesiologist, at least I'm going towards the nursing program.
Nursing.
So if I'm just changed my mind, I'm I can just be a nurse. And then me and my sister can work together.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Layla, what about you?
I don't fully know what I really want to do, but I'm thinking about trying to be an art therapist for not Ooh. Children but kind of the age where you know what therapy is.
Okay. Yeah, so maybe 16 or older,
maybe I don't know, maybe 12 and up or something.
Okay. Yeah.
Because I feel a lot of the problems start when you're young, and being able to help tackle those things before they become big problems for people, I feel is important. And I love art, and so if I can use that as a way to help
incorporate
people,
it into your job.
Then
that's really cool if you do go into that. It's really interesting.
Yeah,
that sounds great.
I've loved psychology this semester. It's been so fun to learn all the different things. And so I spoke to my teacher about it, and she recommended a college in Detroit and stuff like that. So
that's good.
Nice. Yeah. Well, thanks a lot for joining me today, you guys.
Of course.
Yeah, thank
of course.
You.
Great, thank
it's
you.
It's a cool experience. I really enjoyed doing this.
Thank you for listening to our talented poets and authors.
Until next time, this has been Washington Square On Air,
where we showcase selections from Lansing Community College's literary journal,
The Washington Square Review,
a publication featuring writers from the Great Lakes State,
across the nation,
and around the world.
To find out more about the Washington Square Review,
visit lcc.edu/WSR.
We hope you enjoyed listening
as much as we enjoyed sharing.